Song of Solomon, chapter 5. Let's read verse 2. I sleep, but my heart waketh. Amen. Let's pray. Father, I love you today, and I thank you for the Word of God that we're reading from today. Make it a blessing to somebody. Help me, Lord, to be a stepping stone and not a stumbling block. In Jesus' name, everybody said amen. I just read six words out of a lengthy passage. I could have read it all, but it's not relative to what I want to talk about today. I sleep, but my heart waketh. God bless all you visitors. We're so glad you're here, and I look forward to shaking hands with you after service. We love you. I want to talk today. The Lord spoke to my heart this week. I was praying one day, and the Lord spoke to my heart. And when the Lord talks to me, I have to go quickly and write things down. And sometimes I forget where I wrote it down. But I want to talk about the awakening of the heart. The awakening of the heart. I sleep, but my heart waketh. Solomon wrote a beautiful song about Christ, Jesus, and His church. He wrote a beautiful song in the Song of Solomon about the Lord's love for His bride, His church. Matthew Henry emphasized verse 2 and said, listlessness had seized her. She slept. She neglected her duty. Christians are not always lively stones, as the Word of God said we should be. And we are not always vigorous in our relation to our God. And when I talk about vigorous and intense worship, I'm definitely not talking about bodily exercise. I preached in a service sometime months ago, and a man came, told me before church, he said, I don't sit down during church. I said, you don't. No, he said, I won't sit down. It won't bother you? I said, maybe not. But I said, if I don't stand up, that won't bother you. I have reached a place in my life I can sit there on that bench and get lost in the Spirit. And when I talk about worship God, it is not always meaning running and jumping and leaping and shouting. It's a condition of the heart. That may be part. Amen. That is a response to what is happening in your heart. Can I get an amen? What we call worship is a response, amen, to something that is far deeper. And sometimes we are not always the lively stones that we should be, and vigorous in our relation to God. But in this passage, grace was remaining. The Scripture said, my heart, I sleep, but my heart waketh. Or rather saying, My conscience reproaches me and ceases not to rescue me. Solomon, in his song, tells us that we should take notice when God is near us. The Lord Jesus one day looked over ancient Jerusalem and he said, "Oh Jerusalem, if you knew the time of your visitation, there you are, Jerusalem. You're busy, you're scurrying about your commerce and your politics and your religion. If you only knew the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is looking down and weeping." And he said, "If you only knew the time of your visitation." I looked this morning for a passage, and I believe it was in Daniel. I preached from it, said, I didn't have time really, said, In dreams and in visions of the night, God speaketh, yea, once and twice. And I thought about the times that God visits people and tries to awaken them out of their routine of life and ordinary days that God visits us, and oftentimes we are too busy. There have been times, I'm sure, in all of your life and mine that I felt an urge to pray during the day. And I felt the call of God to pray. And I said, later I'll pray, but right now I'm occupied and I'm carried away with this and that. And so I pushed God aside. Something said, "Be good, you ought to pray." You know what that was, really? That was God saying, "Hey, let's go and pray. Let's have some fellowship. You talk to me and I'll talk to you." But sometime, many time, maybe later in the day, I said, "Now I'm called up and these things are taken care of. And now, Lord, I've got time." And many times I've gone to my place of prayer, and I couldn't touch Him. I couldn't reach Him. It wasn't there. Amen. I sleep. And sometimes we just sleep on, and we're not aware of the Lord saying, "I want to fellowship with you." He said, "If any man will open the door," He said, I will sup with him. I'll fellowship with him. But sometimes we say, "God, on my terms and my convenience." Amen. And sometimes we just sleep on. Solomon said, we should take notice of the times of the visitation of God. We should take notice of the time when God is near us. I remember hearing of an old man that my mother used to tell me about when I was a little boy. An old man that she knew long ago who was at many times especially used of God. And he could pray for people. They had many notable miracles. And he was not a preacher, just an old man. And I've heard my mother tell how sometimes at 2 o'clock in the morning, a child was dying, or someone maybe had died. Someone was violently ill, and they would go to the cabin of this old brother and rouse him and wake him up. And so yonder is dying or has died. There's a baby that's lying that's in convulsions, and they say, "They need you to come and pray." And the old brother a lot of time would say, "Hey, I'm really not in contact with God. Give me a little while. And let me pray and let me get a hold of God." And how the old man would saddle his horse and ride down and pray. Hey, I want to tell you, it's a wonderful thing to be able to get a hold of God. It's a wonderful thing, amen, to be able to get in the presence of God. It's a marvelous thing, amen, to be able to go from 0 to 90, amen, in the Spirit of the Lord. Praise God, amen, in just a matter of seconds. Could I get a witness this morning? We need to know when God is near. We need to know, amen, when He's trying to tell you something. Often, we are moved, we are stirred by events of life, by things that take place. We are often moved by a message that is preached or a song that comes forth, and something in your heart grips you. A feeling comes over you. People go to Pentecostal churches, some for the first time, and you don't understand everything you see. You don't understand everything you hear. Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. All of these things and these traditions of oneness Pentecostal are sometimes strange. And testimonies that you hear may be strange. You may pray and someone hollers in your ear and says, "Hold on, hold on." And you say, "Hold on." And in the other ear, someone's hollering, "Turn loose, turn loose." And you say, "Turn loose." Amen. And you really don't know what to do. You hear preaching about horses and you hear preaching about blood, and you hear preaching about mountains trembling, and you hear preaching about Antichrist and pale horses and black riders, and you say, "What does all of this mean?" And you don't understand it. But I'm going to tell you, I can't make you understand it all. But I'm going to tell you, there's something that is undeniable. And that's when God is dealing with your heart. That's when the Spirit of God is squeezing the strings of your soul. And you don't understand, amen, when your tears are running down your cheeks and you say, "I've never felt this in church before." It is the undeniable presence of God. You know what it is? It is the awakening of the heart. It is the awakening out of sleep and slumber. And I'm telling you, amen, what God laid on my heart to give you for this service this morning. Somebody, amen, and God knew who was coming here today. Somebody is having an awakening of the heart. Something you have heard. A song that has gone forth. Amen, a prayer that you have heard. And something tells you in your heart and said, "Hey, amen, this is the path. Walk ye in it." Amen. "This is what I have searched for. This is what I have longed for. This is the way to heaven." You may not understand it all, but there is something that tells you this is right. Would you lift your hands and praise Him? Would you talk to the Lord, everybody, today? The awakening of the heart. Many times God speaks, and many times God tries to awaken men out of their slumber and their sleep. And there is a conscience man inside that said, "This is right." But oftentimes you lack the courage. You lack the resolve to do what your heart tells you is right. In Acts chapter 26, King Agrippa had a great awakening as the apostle stood before him, and the apostle told him of his experiences in his life. He told him what had changed him You know, the greatest witness in the world is just a testimony of what God's done for me. The greatest witness to a sinner today is not about the book of Revelation. It's not about the pale horse and its rider. The greatest witness is not about Melchizedek. And was he a theophany, a manifestation of God? But you know, the greatest witness could be is that you could tell somebody where I was. And I was on the journey of life. And I was a little religious boy or girl. And I was doing the best I could with what my mother and my dad had taught me. But honestly, I was empty and I was dead inside. And there were secret sins that I couldn't do nothing about. And I was so miserable and so wretched. And I went to that old-time church one night, and I heard that old-time preaching, and I didn't understand it, but I felt something I never felt before. And before I knew it, amen, I was around an altar. Maybe I was flat on my back, and that was something I would never do. Amen. But before I knew it, my tongue was loosed, and I was saying things that I didn't know what I was saying. And I come up out of that filled with the Holy Ghost. I was baptized in the name of the Lord for the washing away of my sins. My friends and my family said, there's nothing to it. He'll be back. He'll be back. She'll come right on back. But all of these years later, amen, I'm still living for God. Hey, that's the greatest witness you could tell. And I can tell you that 55 years ago, as a little old country boy, I knelt one night in an altar, and there were grown men all around me, and nobody paid me no mind. But God put something in my heart. Amen. And 55 years later, it has been something that has sustained me. It has carried me. It has kept me. Amen. And I'm still walking with God today. That's the greatest witness in the world. Amen. When there is an awakening in your heart. And I believe there's somebody here this morning that God is speaking to you. The apostle is telling the almighty King Agrippa what happened in his life. And Agrippa listened very intently to all of it. And his reply was, almost you have persuaded me to be a Christian. Almost you have persuaded me that you had went on a little longer, that you had preached a little harder. I remember the old preachers, and I used to do it as an evangelist years ago, would preach strong and give an impassioned altar appeal. And the singers would sing. And I remember so many times turning and saying, sing that song one more time. Sing that old song one more time. And many times I've had people tell me, preacher, if you'd preached a little longer, if you just held us a little longer, I was ready to come. If they had saw, oh, why not tonight? Oh, why not tonight? If they had sang it one more time, I was ready. And Agrippa said, almost, thou hast persuaded me to be a Christian. You know, I was studying this late last night, and as I read this, I thought, I don't find any record where there was ever a change in this man's life. I don't find, he said, I'm almost persuaded, but I don't find any time that he ever had an encounter. You know what happened? His heart was awakened. The message, the word, the testimony of the apostle awakened him out of his sleeping. And he said, I'm almost persuaded to be a Christian. You know what Paul answered? And he said, I would that you were not almost, but altogether persuaded. Oh, I would that some of you today were not just stirred out of your slumber, that you were not just aroused out of your sleep, But I wish you were aroused to such an extent that you could not go back to sleep. That you were not almost, but as Paul said, that you could be altogether persuaded and say, hey, I'm convinced in my heart this is what I need. I'm convinced that God is giving me a visitation. I am convinced, amen, that I am face to face with my Lord. In John chapter 3, Nicodemus had an awakening as he heard the message of the Lord. He was face to face with Jesus himself. Nicodemus asked, when he heard him talk about the new birth, Nicodemus said, how can a man be born again when he is old? The young man telling me recently about his great Pentecostal heritage, telling me about his family and how they were involved in God's work and in Pentecost. I said, a strange question. I said, but did they believe the new birth? Did they preach the new birth? So and so has a great church, hundreds of people. But does he preach the new birth? Do they know about the new birth? Has any of them been born again? Has any of them been born again? Hey, it doesn't matter how many of us are gathered here. How beautiful the singing is. How eloquent the preacher may be. Have you been born again? Have you been born again? Have you been born of the water and of the Spirit? Jesus said, Nicodemus, you must be born again. And he said, how can a man be born again, Lord, when he is old? Can a man enter into his mother's womb the second time and be born again? Jesus said, Nicodemus, that which is flesh, and that which is spirit. Nicodemus, I'm not talking about the natural birth. I'm talking about something far greater. Hey, friend, you gotta have something in your heart. If you gotta leave this old world when the trumpet sounds, you got to have a new birth. Amen. There's gotta be a birth of the Spirit. There's gotta be a birth of the Spirit. You don't want to leave this world and meet God, amen, without the birth of the Spirit, the Holy Ghost. And Jesus said, marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. I'm talking about the awakening of the heart. Somebody who's hearing this preacher this morning for a long time, several weeks, maybe several months, God's been dealing with your heart. God's been talking to you. There's been an awakening down inside of you. The things that have satisfied you, the things that have occupied your heart and your life for so many years somehow, they don't thrill you and they don't satisfy you any longer. Amen. Somehow there was something that stirred within you and you find yourself lying awake late at night and looking at a dark ceiling, and you wonder, am I ready to meet God? Am I ready to meet God? Amen. You know what's happened? Something has happened. Amen. That has awakened your heart. Amen. God is dealing with you, and God is talking to you. A Saul, whose name was later changed to Paul, on the Damascus Road, and he was a very religious man. He was a very devout man. There was none more devout than Saul. He was amen, of the strictest sect of the Pharisees. In one place, he said, I am a ringleader. He was a leader of a sect of the Pharisees. He was a very devout man. You know what? God's looking for devout people today. God's looking for people that are sincere and devout. If you can be devout in something
amen,
that is not scriptural and biblical. Hey, you could be a star for God. You could be a soul winner for Jesus. Amen. You could be a lightning rod in the hands of God if you can get full of the Holy Ghost and you can listen to your heart. If you can listen to your heart, amen, and listen, amen, to what that voice is saying. Do what you know you need to do. Saul had that awakening. And he found himself lying flat on his back on the Damascus Road. He found himself there. And he had an awakening and an encounter with God. And he talked and he conversed with a voice that he could not see. And he said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And that voice echoed from heaven and said, "I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest." Who is the Lord? He is Jesus. Amen. Thomas looked upon him and said, "My Lord and my God." Amen. The writer said, He is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Amen. "Who art thou?" And that voice said, "I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest." Amen. You know what happened to him? God told him, "You go into the city. You go to a certain address, and you will find one there, and he will tell you what you ought to do." And the Bible said that it was not long after, amen, that he went into the city and he found the man of God and he laid his hands on him and he was filled. He was filled with the Holy Ghost. He who was devout. He who was sincere. He who was a credentialed Pharisee. He who was a licensed Pharisee. He who had the credentials in his hand, that I'm going, and when I get there, I'm going to persecute those Christians, and I'm going to bind them and put them in jail. But he had an awakening in his heart, and God dealt with him, and not long after was filled with the Holy Ghost. And that awakening changed and revolutionized his life. And he who had persecuted the Christians, he became the greatest one. He who was a hater of the doctrine of Jesus Christ was saved, filled with the Holy Ghost, and became the greatest preacher that the apostolic era ever knew. Amen. And God used him to write over 14 books of the New Testament. And that he could later say that in the space of 2 years that I have preached to all of Asia. Oh, brother, when you obey that awakening of your heart, when you obey that voice that speaks down inside, and that voice of God that said, "Hey, I'm showing you the way." But I'm telling you, if you obey that voice, you'll never be the same. If you obey that voice, you will never be the same. Amen. Whatever you do with that awakening will determine your eternal security. If you obey that voice, you will never be the same. But if you refuse that voice, you will never be the same either. When we refuse the voice of God, when a man or a woman refuses the truth, what is left? No wonder our world is in such apostasy. No wonder the religious world is in such apostasy. No wonder they are ordaining sexual perverts in the Episcopalian church. No wonder the old world church, by her own admission, said that 50% of her clergymen are homosexuals. Amen. No wonder why they are headed into apostasy. The whole system of organized religion of the world, they have left God. They have left the Word of God. They have left the truth. The apostle said, the writer of the prophet said, they have hewn them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. They have refused the pure, the true, and the living water. They have refused, amen, He, amen, who gives the living water. Amen. And they have drinking out of their own cisterns. They're making them a new Bible. They might as well. They have rejected the true Word of God. They have rejected the Word of the apostles and the prophets. And the prophets said they have taken the least from among them and have made them their spiritual leaders. Brother, when a religious movement can take a known pervert, when they can take a homosexual, a queer man you, who is living with another one just like him, and not just make him a preacher, but make him a bishop and a preacher over preacher. Hey, amen. They're in a sad shape today. Brother, if you, sister, lady, sir, if you're a part of such a religious system, amen, run. Don't walk away from it. Run. Don't walk. Shake the dust off of your feet and allow God to come to your heart. And ran to where, amen, you can hear the word and where God's dealing with your heart. Could I get a witness this morning? Oh, hallelujah. 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 Whatever you do will determine where you spend eternity. I talked to you about some people who had an experience with God, an awakening of their heart. They listened to that and what God did in their life. But the Bible is filled with many who came face to face with truth and they rejected it. Was it Felix that heard the testimony? He heard the warning. Amen. He said, go your way, Brother Saul. When I have a more convenient season, I'll call for you then. There's people today that's weighing it all out, counting the cost. What's it going to mean to live for God? What will it mean to make a commitment to God? I made the commitment a long time ago and never looked back. That's the only way you can live for God. Give your heart to God, surrender, repent, get rid out of the sinning business, burn your bridges behind you. And you'll never look back with despair. You'll never look back in retrospect. You'll never look back and say, what could I have done and where would I be and what would have happened if I had not gone, hey, amen, I've gone this way and God has blessed and God has prospered and God has kept and God has called and God's given me a family, amen, God's given me a ministry, God's given me a home, God's given me a future, He's given me a testimony, He's put a song in my heart, and you think, amen, you think that I'm going to worry and look back at Egypt. You think I'm going to worry about the flesh pots that I left behind, and I could be standing around with those Egyptians eating out of the flesh pots. Amen. No, a million times no. Thank God I allowed God to awaken my heart. And I burned the bridges behind me, and I'm on my way to the New Jerusalem. I'm closing. Satan will try to short you. He will shortchange you. He will do his best to convince you to compromise. Preacher, I know you preached to me, and I know my heart has been awakened. And I know something has been stirred within me here of late, something I've never felt before. But I'm not sure I want to go as far as some have. The devil said, all of that's not necessary. The devil is a master of compromise. I thought this morning, just for service, when God was about to lead those children of Israel out of Egypt, and Pharaoh was about to lose his bondage on them. And Pharaoh said, if I let you go, I'll let you go 3 days' journey. You can go out there 3 days into the wilderness. And that's as far as you can go. Don't go any further than that. No. We're not going to stop in 3 days. And finally he said, look, I'm going to let you go as far as you want to go, but leave your children here. Leave your children, you'll have to come back. Hey, that's what the devil is trying to convince people. Don't go too far. Don't get too excited about this. Don't pay too great a price. Old Moses, before he died down there in Egypt, he told those Israelites, he said, hey, I know one of these days you're going to be leaving here. He said, and when you leave here, I want you to make me a promise. Take my bones with you. Amen. Take my bones with you. Don't leave my old carcass back here in Egypt. Hey, I'm going to tell you what. The only way to live for God is to say, God, I'm going all the way with you, whatever it costs me. I'm going to burn all the bridges behind me. Sing the children. I'm going to leave it all behind me. Amen. And I'm going all the way with the Lord. I'm talking about when the heart awakens. That voice that's down inside. Somebody lift your hands and pray. Somebody stand with me and talk to the Lord. Whoa. Whoa. This hot Sunday morning, be a good time to get ready to go to heaven. Be a good time to pray when this old country preacher has preached an old-fashioned message and offering you the appeal.